You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum on this March Saturday. Thank you so much, March 12th. Appreciate you being a part of our show. Michael Bryan is the founder of Blood for Arizona. He joins us now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Let's talk a little bit about this legislature. Arizona weighs abortion ban at 15 weeks. Anti-abortion efforts in the legislature are as severe as I've ever seen them. You've got anti-election protection legislation almost at every stop that is going to affect not only early balloting and maybe do away with it in Arizona, but also make it impossible for an initiative effort where the people of Arizona can write the laws of the state, as was provided for in the founding of the Constitution of the state of Arizona. This is the most straight right-wing legislature that I have viewed in almost a decade, if not more, and I've seen a lot of right-wing legislatures. It's frightening, is it not, Michael?
It truly is. The GOP is increasingly just representing a very tiny fraction of the electorate. I mean, you know, they really respond to the right wing of their own party, and there are so many uncompetitive districts in our state, in the state legislature, that, you know, they pretty much have a lock-in, and they don't really have to worry about any kind of electoral competition except from their extreme right wing. And so what we get is, you know, them trying to suppress the vote, them trying to stop the electorate from legislating directly through the initiative, as we're allowed to do under the Constitution, and passing more and more extreme culture war bills like attacks on women's rights and trans and gay kids and on and on. It seems like it's never ending, and the only way to stop it really is to put them out of office, put the AZGOP out of business, and take over the state legislature with a Democratic majority that will actually respond to the needs and desires of people.
Well, we've looked at this over and over again, and we've come within one vote in the Senate, or one vote in the House, or two votes or whatever, but Republicans have continued to hold sway with the power regulate legislation that goes through either of the chambers, or in any hopes of becoming law from the Democrats, is almost impossible. How do you break this every single election year? And it is almost. Well, we almost made it. It would have been one more vote. We'd have had the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, but neither ever became true.
Yeah, there's two ways to do it. One is that, some of the Republicans are responsible to, concerns of the majority on certain issues. Like, for instance, we're seeing Senator Paul Boyer, who's resigning from the state legislature, stopping a lot of these more extreme anti-voting bills. But in the long run, all you can really do is, persuade enough swing voters, independent voters, and people of goodwill who are just fed up with what the Republicans are doing to cater to a very, very small radical slice of the electorate and put them out of office. I mean, that's really all we can do. We just had a redistricting, so we're going to see how these districts go. They're reasonably well balanced. They're not as bad as we could have had. So I think we have a reasonable chance of doing that if we have enough independent votes getting out there and saying we've had enough of the AZGOP.
Well, the way these new districts have been drawn, they still favor Republicans in many supposedly, quote, swing districts.
Yeah.
And those are the Republican legislative districts that then become the majority of the House or the Senate and stop any kind of progressive legislation from the Democratic Party. And that's really almost three strikes and you're out because you don't have the power to overcome those advantages the Republicans have when they're drawn into Republican districts rather than the swing district that it's supposed to have been. I don't, you know, it just seems to me, as purple as we become, headed for a blue state, we just almost climb the hill and then can't get there. And that makes me extremely disappointed, and I think this may be another year for that, don't you?
Yeah, there's always that possibility, but let me get down in the weeds just a little bit with you here, John.
Sure.
One of the reasons why we have this extremity in our politics is because so many of our districts are non-competitive. So, you know, when you have a really large advantage in a majority of the districts for your party, there's no reason to respond to the concerns of independents or Democrats or anybody else, especially non-voters, in your district. And so you get this increasingly tiny minority that's able to dominate politics in those uncompetitive districts. And it's a feature of the way we do elections, of the way we draw districts, these what they call single member first past the post districts. What that means is that you have under something that some political scientists like to call Duvinger's Law, when you have this kind of representation, you're going to have two parties, you're going to have polarization, and you're going to have 49% of your population not represented in your government, you know, because 49% is the losing side. They get no representation. 51% carries the day. So what you really need to do is change the rules, and there are things that we can do. You know, there's a movement afoot called ranked choice voting, or Arizona voter choice, which allows you to have ranked choice voting. So you can choose your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, and so on down, so that it encourages people the people who are participating in the system, the people who are trying to get elected, to build coalitions across party lines so that they get that second and third position so that they have a better chance of actually getting elected. So that's one thing we can do. Another thing we can do is multi-party districts. I mean, multi-member districts, so that the representation of that 49% actually gets represented by a member, because you have three or four people representing that district instead of just one. And so people who would normally not get any representation from that district actually get somebody who champions what they want to champion in the state legislature. So that's one way to combat the kind of extremism that we're seeing, is to reform the actual electoral system. And we can do that. Of course, the GOP is going to resist it because, you know, right now, you know, they have a lock-in that they want to preserve. But we the people have the power to legislate, and we should.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
By the way, the idea, too, of doing away with early voting is going to affect the Democratic hopes, I think, all across the state. Same thing with doing away with the right to have the people of Arizona write their own laws through the initiative process, which is becoming more difficult with every stroke of a legislative speaker or a Senate president's pen, and it may not even exist in the near future. The same thing for both of those issues, early voting or the initiative process, which would be an unmitigated disaster for democracy in the state of Arizona. It truly would be.
Yeah. You know, I think in large part, the pushback against early voting is self-defeating for Republicans, because, you know, Republicans use that and love that system just as much as Democrats do and independents do. You know, with more than 80% of Arizona voters voting by mail early, you know, it seems like shooting yourself in the foot when people love the system, no matter what party they belong to. So I don't think that eventually that they're going to get much traction out of that, and I think they'll get a lot of pushback from within their own party if they try and do it.
Let's talk
as to go ahead.
Go, no, I apologize. I'm running out of time here, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the U.S. Senate race with Kelly. It seems to me that Brnovich may have the inside track on that because of his name ID and a long time member as the Attorney General of the state. But there's a lot of Democrat crazy right-wingers, Republicans that are billionaires that are in this race, as well as a few ladies that are just bat-dung crazy. So I don't know how that's going to turn out. A lot of people say that Kelly's in a real battle to keep the Senate seat. What do you see from Blog from Arizona, or Blog for Arizona, as a race for the U.S. Senate in this election of 2022?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It's most likely that Brnovich will become the eventual nominee, although there is a portion of the party that really hates him because he hasn't investigated all these false claims of, you know, voter conspiracies and so forth, because there's no there. You know, they criticize him for not bringing, you know, charges or locking people up, but, you know, you got to actually have facts when you take it to court, and so that's why he's not taking it to court, because there's no facts. So they're a little upset with him, but he does have the kind of name recognition statewide that is really going to probably propel him over the top. So we'll probably see Brnovich versus Kelly. And, you know, it really depends on turnout. You know, these midterm elections really hinge on who turns out to vote. You know, Democrats generally drop off in voting during midterms, and that's one of the reasons why we tend to lose seats in Congress when it's an off year like this. So it's going to be a close race regardless of what we do, but I have a lot of confidence that Kelly's going to do really well. People are very satisfied with the job that he's been doing in his Senate seat, and he's been responding to independents and Republican concerns alike. So he's not being extremely partisan, and so I think that's going to play very well with independent voters.
Mark Brian is my guest. Michael, you founded Blog for Arizona. Washington Post calls it the best blog in Arizona. Has it become literally what you want it to be, literally?
Absolutely. It's become a sort of a community project that is compelling to people across the state. We call ourselves blogforarizona.net because we're really a network of activists and party members and active citizens who are trying to, you know, get more better information out there to Arizona people about what's going on in Arizona politics. Because, you know, let's face it, there's not as much budget out there to cover Arizona politics in the local newsrooms as there used to be.
Well, the idea, too, you've got some people that are contributing to it that seemingly know what the hell they're talking about and have quite a following. I think that's pretty remarkable to get all these people to be a part of this effort.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to our volunteer writers. Nobody gets paid. It's a nonprofit venture. So yeah, they're all volunteers volunteering their time with for no pay in order to help, you know, inform Arizonans about what the issues are.
You know, it's true. I think that if you go to Blog for Arizona, you're going to see a tremendous amount of information you really didn't find in one of the papers of the state, the Republic or the Arizona Daily Star. You cover things they don't cover, but probably should. That's what's always amazed me about Blog for Arizona.
Yeah, like I said, you know, newsrooms are taking it in the backside. So, you know, their budgets are down. They don't have the staffing to be able to cover local politics the way they used to. So you see a lot of wire stories. But there are some really good journalists out there making some great copy. Arizona Mirror, Tucson Citizen, you know, they do a great job of actually covering local politics where, you know, maybe the newspapers fail. But online is, you know, where you got to go because we don't have those distribution costs that the legacy media does.
What made you put Blog for Arizona on? How did that happen, by the way?
It was 2003, and I was volunteering for the Dean campaign for president. I don't know if you remember,
I do remember.
Howard Dean.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I started a blog for him here in the state called Dean for Arizona. And after he dropped out of the race eventually, I converted it to Blog for Arizona and just started covering Arizona politics primarily.
You know, the idea.
And then others joined me.
Yeah, the idea, too, that because you have so different perspectives from so many different Democrats, it's all pretty much progressive thinking, but it comes from different particular minds that give you a variety of information you just don't get anywhere else. That's what makes it such a mandatory read just about every day, because every day it changes. It truly does. It's just a remarkable circulation of information that I've never seen before and have enjoyed immensely every day.
Well, thank you, John. I'm sure our authors and myself really do appreciate your praise. It's very nice to hear.
Michael, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. Speaking of Blog for Arizona, we're going to be talking with Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona about the Democrats of Greater Tucson. He is their president. He's a former convention of the Democratic Party, and of course, he's president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, and a remarkable Democrat. We're going to talk with Larry Bodine coming up next. Michael, thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Michael Bryan is my guest on the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Back in a moment. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who is responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Hi, Larry.
Hello, John.
What's going on with the Democrats of Greater Tucson this week and next?
We've got some fun coming up. I highly recommend that all good Democrats sign up and come to our Drinking Democratically Happy Hour, which is next Wednesday at Brother John's Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue on Stone Avenue. It's going to be on March 16 from 4 to 6 p.m. And all you need to do is just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and sign up, and we're going to have a great time. It's the day before St. Patrick's Day, so we're telling all good Democrats to wear green.
All right, that's going to be fun. Let's talk a little bit about Monday's edition of the Democrats of Greater Tucson online, where everybody can partake in an event that's every Monday.
That's right, John. We do have some serious business to discuss. Democrats of Greater Tucson meets on Zoom every Monday at 12 noon, and all you need to do is go to thedgt.org or Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you'll find out about our upcoming speakers. So on Monday, we've got Dustin Williams, who is the Pima County School Superintendent, and he's going to talk about all the anti-education bills that are in the state legislature. Just to give you a couple examples, the legislature would ban sex education or AIDS education. They would require teachers to post any curriculum about race, gender, and ethnicity online in advance. And, of course, they're trying to expose so-called critical race theory. And they would limit transgender students from expressing their gender identity. And then the worst one is that teachers are going to be forced to tell parents if a student tells the teacher that they're gay. They're going to penalize school employees for withholding any information the students tell them in school. It's a good thing we have good defenders of teachers in schools in Dustin Williams, and he'll be our next speaker on Monday at 12 noon on Zoom. So that's going to be a serious topic.
By the way, everybody can join that and ask questions themselves, so tell people how they can do that, how easy it is to be a part of the Monday gathering.
Absolutely. The speaker talk about what they're up to for about 15, 20 minutes, and we devote most of our time to letting people who are on the Zoom call ask questions. So you can ask questions of people that you would never get on the phone, but all you need to do is raise your hand in Zoom, and you can ask a live question or ask a question in the chat. And that's the one thing that makes DGT, Democrats of Greater Tucson, so valuable, is it really connects the people with the elected officials.
You know, one of the things that's always impressed me is the archives, and we try to talk about that every week when we talk about the Democrats of Greater Tucson, but your archives is just enormous, an enormous group of people that have appeared before the public on Democrats of Greater Tucson Monday Zoom.
That's right. We have the largest video library of candidates and elected officials speaking. We record the Zoom meetings, and I edit them down, and anybody who wants to see anybody who spoke over the last 2 years can view one of our 130 videos. So, for instance, one of our top speakers was Pima County Recorder Gabriela Casares-Kelly, and she told us all about voting centers, and there's a recording, and you can see her slides. It's very informative, and it's an excellent thing to make voting more convenient and more secure here in Pima County.
Got about 30 seconds left, a little bit about how to get online on Monday.
All right. Go to thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. And when you come to the site, you will see that our next speaker is Dustin Williams. He'd be right at the top of the web page. He's the Pima School Superintendent, and you just register yourself, and you'll get the link to join our Zoom call. Look forward to seeing everybody, all good Democrats out there, at our meeting on Monday.
All right. Thank you so much, Larry Bodine. We'll be talking again soon. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.
You too. Bye-bye.
Following has been a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson on the John C. Scott Political Forum. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. Back next week, 3 to 4 at KVOI, The Voice. Local news and talk.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.